Dillard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right. 888-957-9570. It is Willard and Dibs. And we started today's show by simply asking the question, do you feel like Brock Purdy is lesser in bigger moments? And my answer to that is not yet, but an eyebrow is up. And sure, I'm going to acknowledge all the complexities or the idiosyncrasies of that question.
Yeah.
Because the bigger moments, by definition, are harder. You're going against a better defense in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Or in this particular year, you are trying to go against one of the better defenses, and you're doing it at a major deficit without some of your major weapons handy to you or available to you. So, yes, it's harder. So should you be a little bit lesser? Yes, I'd argue. But you know, Dibs, it's 2024. So, damn it, don't you use excuses. Like, that's not okay. He's got to be able to do it by himself. Or else he's not a good player.
He doesn't have to do it by himself, but he can't undo it by himself. How about that?
Very well said.
Is that fair?
Totally.
And I feel like Sunday, he undid it, not totally by himself, but he undid it.
He made it impossible to win.
Right.
He threw two interceptions. Like, the first one was super annoying, but the Niners got it right back.
Right.
So, like, the next two, though, I would argue are the two momentum moments of the game.
For sure.
Two opportunities for momentum in the game. You're down 14-12. You're potentially in field goal range already.
At the 34.
Yeah, so that's what, a 52-yarder?
Yeah.
With a kicker who knows, maybe it'll go in.
Better outside of 45 than inside of 40.
That's fair. Is that true for his career or just that game?
Just that game.
Good Lord.
Missed a PAT, but he banged in a long one earlier, right?
I mean, I don't trust him. He's the same kicker who kind of ruined what the Packers were doing for the Packers in the playoffs last year.
Right, and this is kicker number three. And when you're on kicker number three, it's probably not great, much like when you're on wide receivers number 4, 5, and 6, or 5, 6, and 7, or wherever they are. So,
Then the other one, obviously, being down toward the end zone, where, again, you've got three points is a lock, and it would have been unfortunate, disappointing, but you would have been back within one score.
Yep.
Like, it was 21-12 at that moment. You would have made it 21-15. And instead, you throw a pick, and now you're still two scores down. And the Chiefs are allowed in that moment now to just feed Kareem Hunt. Clock, 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 clock.
Hunt, hunt, steal, 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 hunt, hunt is how that went.
Yep.
They went from 9:29 on the clock. They scored with 3:09 left, and it was night-night.
Ball game.
6 minutes and 20 seconds, and they threw it twice. Two times. Once to Noah Gray, and that was the amazing one where he ran forward and he was getting tackled and he just kind of went...
Shoved it. Yeah,
a little shove, little nine-yard shove, and then he rolled out on third and four, and he hit P. Ryan, and he was just wide open. And P. Ryan went for 22, and they got down to the 18, and then Mecole Hardman, the next play on the jet sweep against a defense that at that point was like, oh, the hell with it. What it kind of felt like to me, right?
K-Dog and Corda Madera. Hi, you're on Willard and Dibs. What are you doing?
Hey, I'm, as usual, driving around selling real estate in Marin.
Nice.
Tough life.
Yeah, exactly. It's going like hotcakes.
So, I want to talk about
sell one house and your life's over.
And winning and losing in the trenches.
I'm sorry, K-Dog. We got takes on
my
real estate.
My analogy is, if you're trying to knock out the heavyweight champ, you got to knock out the heavyweight champ. You can't just show up and do pretty good. You have to be over-prepared, and it doesn't seem like Shanahan's teams are over-prepared and ready for the moment. Brock obviously had a very bad game, but his body of work to date has been very good, I think. But my observation is that, first of all, we're getting beat in the trenches, especially. I mean, like, the Cardinals crushed us in the trenches, and I just think that Shanahan is not invested in the proper coaching or personnel in the trenches, and that bleeds out to other things. And I just think that they're really not properly motivated and prepared as a team. I watched the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line just truck down the field, and they were stoked and cheering each other on, and it just was a totally different story. The Niners are just kind of flat and not prepared. That's all I got to say.
That's interesting. All right, K-Dog. I don't tend to agree with that. I don't think this is a preparation issue at all. That's just me. Like you mentioned an example, the Steelers. Okay, so you watch Sunday Night Football, and the Steelers' offensive line had a good game against the New York Jets. Does anybody remember what the Niners did as an offensive line against the New York Jets?
Kicked a lot of field goals.
Yep, but they made Jordan Mason a star. They kicked the Jets' butt that night. Now, they weren't good in the red zone. That's been a problem all year for the 49ers. But I like this to me, this just me now, I feel like when things don't go well, this kind of goes in reverse order. When things don't go well, we don't like the body language. We then say you're not prepared. Well, the reason you don't like the body language is because things aren't going well. I don't think the 49ers looked unprepared. I think they were ineffective. I think they made tons of mistakes. But I'm always, this goes for all teams, not just the Niners, the Chiefs too in this game. When you've got a game plan and then key people are not available to you last minute, it's really hard on an offense. And the Chiefs lost Juju Smith-Schuster. I don't know if he was like a central figure to their game plan, but he'd been their leading receiver the last few weeks. And he gets knocked out, and you didn't know that was coming.
Yep.
And you may say, well, the Chiefs dealt with that. Well, guess what? Their offense didn't have a great day either. Now, are they more creative? I think you can say that. Are they more buttoned up? You could say that. Are they the home of Patrick Mahomes? Sure, you can say all that. So, yes, they performed better. But by and large, that game, most of the time the defenses looked better than the offenses, I thought. Most of the time.
Not in the second half. The Chiefs' offense looked better than the Niners' defense.
On that last drive that you just referenced.
The last two drives, yeah.
Yeah.
The last two drives is where, and this is, I think, a greater point for the game for me is that the pivot point. So you lose Juju Smith-Schuster, fine. And I think Andy Reid knew going in that he probably wouldn't be central because he was already he was nursing a little bit of an injury. So I don't think he was as central as Debo and Brandon Ayuk. So I'll give you that. But at the same time, I do think that Kansas City realized that the way they were going to win the game would be with their interior three offensive linemen going straight at a questionable Niners D-line and a linebacking core that has been beyond suspect. And apologies to Fred Warner and his bum ankle. Fred has not been great the last couple of games, and you don't have Flanagan Fouls, and Winters is young and not really holding up, and you know, Campbell has been very questionable. Their linebackers have not been great against the run.
Was Fred not good the last couple of games? I thought he was fantastic in Seattle.
I think he was pretty good against Seattle.
Don't you remember some of those plays when he was, like, shaking blockers and knocking Kenneth Walker down right before the front? Like, I mean, I thought he was really good in that game.
Maybe I'm thinking more about this game, but yeah. I just see Fred as being not the same explosive, fast linebacker. And, you know, Campbell has not been good all year, and Winters is, you know, not as good as what you would need him to be. So I look at a Kansas City offense, and they lose Juju Smith-Schuster. They barely use Kelce at all, and they realized in the second half, oh, all we have to do is run it. Let's just run it straight, off tackle, off guard. We'll run power, and that's all we need to do. And that was it.
Let's go to Alexis in the city. Hi, Alexis. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. I got a hot take.
Ooh.
I think we should franchise tag Brock Purdy.
Oh.
And let me tell you why.
That is
we
a
need
hot
to
take.
Franchise tag Brock Purdy because we need more. I think he's another Jimmy G, unfortunately. I love everything about Purdy, the way he carries himself. He's got a QBR of 60.9. He has, if you look back to the Christmas game of Baltimore, he cannot play with big quarterbacks. We can't pay him Ferrari money for, you know, a Toyota Tacoma prices. You understand? He's not a top four quarterback. He's not up there with Lamar Jackson. He's not up there with Allen. He's not up there with Mahomes. When he doesn't have his Avenger core, he is just average, and there's nothing wrong with being average. I think there's another issue is that Shanahan needs to have his OC call plays. He has an inability to change and react to the game like Andy Reid. He needs to be more like Andy Reid in the play calling. But I think the organization needs more flexibility. One more year, we can put one more year of a push for the Super Bowl if we franchise tag Purdy. He's not worth 60 mil. I think he's 35 to 40.
Okay, Alexis, thanks very much. Here's the issue there. There's a little bit of a sort of viability problem with the idea. because Brock Purdy is not franchise tag eligible
right.
next year. Brock still has another year on his deal. This would be akin to the 49ers trying to franchise tag Brandon Ayuk before this year. They can't do that. He's still under contract. So this is one of those situations where it would have to play out even further, which it's not going to do, unfortunately. When you're talking about this amount of money, Brock Purdy is only scheduled to make $1.1 million next season. Not this season, next season, but he's extension eligible. And if Brock Purdy has an agent that was born before yesterday, there's no way in hell he's going to let him walk out onto the field next year without an extension, and he is not franchise tag eligible yet. So the tag would have to come after next year if somehow Brock were willing to play for 1.1 next year without a deal, which, just me talking, I don't see as a possibility.
No, it's not a possibility, and the owner already said that he's going to get paid. So, for me, that part of the conversation is off the table. The owner said he's going to get paid. The coach and the GM, they both love him. He's won. He's been successful. He's going to get his money.
I got a list, a short one, a short list, culminating with one name, who I really want the Niners to acquire before the trade deadline, and hopefully before tomorrow, okay? But here's the question to ask you. 888-957-9570. If the 49ers are going to make an acquisition before the deadline at one position, any one position, what position do you choose? You get one trade, one acquisition at one position. What do you want it to be? And we'll tell you ours coming up next. 888-957-9570 is the number. We continue to take your calls, and Steve Kerr at 5 o'clock on Willard and Dibs.
Dub Nation, it's Kevon Looney. Catch my head coach, Steve Kerr, with Willard and Dibs each and every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
I get nervous. And while you're listening to Steve Kerr,
and that's it.
Don't listen to Dan Dibley's picks, because they stink. Because he split again last night.
Yeah, you didn't get them both wrong. You didn't get them both wrong. You got one right. You got one right.
I mean, yeah.
You got one right.
Yeah, but if the one
technically you've won one in a row,
dude, and that
as you
was,
like to say,
talk about your backdoor ugliness. God. Man, don't worry about wiping your feet at the back door, because the back door mat is filthy, and that room is a mess.
Am I allowed to say this
on the
radio? So I used a family member's beepity boppity boop to get into the streaming service of the Cardinals and Chargers last night.
Okay.
So we did the double. We did the double
the
TV.
ESPN Plus.
Yeah, ESPN Plus.
Right.
I don't
have
the ESPN Plus.
I gave it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have it, but I made a call, and there we go. And we got both games on in the living room, and I regret it. I want to give the password back.
You should.
I don't want to watch that game. It was painful. It was terrible. Part of it was the fact that the director of sports, Lucas Alexander, got an absolute gift of a fantasy victory over me. Just brutal. Plus, by the way, he doesn't know how to handle that over text. Like, when your kicker goes for 20 points and you steal one from someone when you were, like, down the whole weekend.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm not complaining that happens to everybody. But you need to know how to be on the receiving end of the luck. So in other words, when you got two friends and one of them's the bad luck Charlie and the other one's the good luck Charlie, when the bad luck Charlie starts sending texts like FFS, what the hell, can you believe this crap, boppity boop, like,
for fantasy sake,
like, just do the, like, I know, can you believe it, wild, dicker the kicker, okay, see you tomorrow at the office. Be whimsical. Don't, like, flex a bicep and be like, amazeballs victory! I can't believe how awesome everything is that just happened to me! I win! Have a good night! What are you doing, dude?
Who are you dealing with?
Director of sports, Lucas Alexander.
Right.
Yeah.
I would have responded with something playing off the fact that the man who beat you, his name was Dicker. Cole Dicker.
He tried that and misspelled it.
That's awkward.
He goes, I can't believe you got beat by Dicker the Kick It.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Your trash talk is terrible. You're awful at this. And you're bad at fantasy too, but you got lucky.
So I'm down 70, and I'm
Did
thinking,
you win?
I'm thinking I'm not even going to bother checking in.
Yeah, don't even watch.
I check in, and I've cut it to 8.
Oh.
Because I had picked up Rashad Bateman.
Oh.
And I decided to start him.
Look at you.
So Bateman with a nice little effort, and of course Derrick Henry, who is my guy.
Right, look at the big brain on Dibs.
So all of a sudden I'm like, ho! And I got Trey McBride, and he's catching footballs and stuff, and I ended up losing. But just for that moment, it was like, oh, look. Good. I will say this, though. I had a nice little prize picks hit. Use the promo code Guru957 if you're so interested. And it all came home. Lamar Jackson under 51.5 rushing yards.
Yep.
And he had 52.
I went straight parlay
Thank
on
you,
that
Lamar.
Game. Yeah.
I had
the Ravens in the over, and boy, was it over.
Over.
What do we have? 72 points in that football game
last Tampa
night?
Quiet, and we can get into this maybe never, but Tampa chasing that game and having another player get hurt.
Yeah.
Many people are outraged at that. They're down 10. And it would be desperation if they score, get the onside kick, and score again and win.
Yeah. No, it's one of those weird things in sports.
And that's Godwin got hurt, right?
Godwin, yeah. It's one of those weird things in sports. They've already confirmed that Evans is going to be out past the game against the Niners, too.
Yep.
Evans is going to miss about a month. So they're in a real tough way. It's a weird thing in sports, though. A game will be over, like it's decided, but if you're losing, you keep your people in. Like, if the Ravens had put Lamar back out there at that time, Harbaugh is going to get fired if that guy gets hurt. But you can still put Baker Mayfield and your starting receivers and running backs and tight ends and offensive linemen out there because you're chasing it, even though you know damn well you're not going to get it.
Well,
You're not going to get it. Like, it doesn't happen in basketball. Steve Kerr will pull everybody. Steve Kerr at 5. Steve Kerr will pull everybody. And then if, like, the kids go on a run, cool. Like, let's see.
Put him back in.
Yeah. Go, Guy Santos. See what you can do. But it's weird. For some reason, if you're losing, you can keep your people in. I'm with you. Get him out of there. And then here's the other thing to bellyache about that one. Don't ban the hip drop tackle if you're never going to call it. That was a hip drop tackle from Roquan.
No flag?
No flag.
Yeah.
No nothing. No flag, no fine, no nothing. I haven't seen anybody barely get called on this all year. And they said they were going to ban it, and they haven't banned it. And so dudes' ankles are just going to keep breaking. Like, ligaments, ankles, it gets them half the time. You know, it's the one that knocked Tony Pollard out of the 49er-Cowboy playoff game a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. I get it. It's hard to tackle on defense. So if you don't want to ban it, I understand, but you banned it. So if you're going to ban it,
right.
Call it.
Agreed. And, you know, the part about, like, when you're trailing, just go ahead and give up. They got the ball back down 10 with a minute 30 to go, minute 35. So it's not totally over. You're only down 10. So the thinking is if you can get quickly into field goal range, you make a field goal, you get the onside, now you need a touchdown or vice versa. So I get the idea of not going forward if you're down by 20, but you're down 10 with a minute 35 to go.
They got the ball back with 1:35?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They had to use all their timeouts, and then Baltimore punted, and you got it back, and you figure, you know, at least give it a shot. And that, I think, is when Godwin got hurt.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I'm not offended by it, but anyway, yeah, that's a tough situation. All right. I put a little thingamabob out on Twitter this morning.
I saw it.
All right. So this is the position I would like the 49ers to get. Now, first of all, you're allowed, I checked, you're allowed to make more than one trade. So the Niners do not have to only do this. But I am firmly in the camp of the 49ers should go get a wide receiver. They absolutely should go get a wide receiver. Brandon Ayuk is out, which already means you don't have any veteran traditional wide receivers on your roster. Debo's not traditional. Juwan's a little different, although He certainly showed that he can be maybe a little more traditional than we were thinking, but I don't even know what the health situation is for Juwan, and we certainly don't know what it is with Debo, and it feels like Debo is just going to consistently be in and out of the lineup. And then past that, you're looking at rookies. I would love to see the 49ers get a wide receiver. I made a little list, and from 4-1, quickly, this is the way it goes. I mentioned it yesterday that I would call the Jets about Mike Williams. I think that that's incredibly cheap. He obviously needs to get off the roster. He is a professional. He is a good blocker. He can make plays downfield. I'd be interested in Mike Williams. By the way, all four of these players are free agents
at the end of the year.
So you have cap space this year. Money is not an issue. You can let these guys walk at the end of the year and I think acquire all of them relatively cheap. Okay, number three on the list, I'm going to hand over to our next caller because I think that he's going to say the same thing that I had as my number three. Javier in Vacaville. Hey, thanks for calling, Javier. What's up?
How you doing, Mr. Willard, Mr. Newby? And I was just going to second that notion. Is I think the perfect compliment to our void at the X position would be DeAndre Hopkins. And the connection is, you know, one of our former executives, Carswright, is the director of, football operations that organization. And unless we're going to depend on 2 to 3 rookies and or second year players, I think he's the guy you get. I would love to get a Garrett Wilson or, you know, a Cooper Kupp, but those are long investments with probably great draft capital needed to give. I'm not in a position to do that. I think DeAndre Hopkins would be a go-to guy. And granted, I know everyone's going to say, we can't beat man coverage all year. Okay, well, you're not going to go get that premier speedster burner right runner, especially a third of the way into the season without giving up 2 first-round picks and, you know, half your leg. But DeAndre Hopkins can win 50-50 matchups still at his age and his prime, and he can not just do that for us, but he can also help develop some oomph and some, like, backbone and some attitude in that locker room right now because I think we're lacking some dog in us. And DeAndre Hopkins is a D-O-G, all capital letters, you know. And I want to see how y'all felt about that. I think he'd be a great get. And I'm glad you second that too, Mr. Willard. Good talking to you, sir.
Yeah, Javier, thanks. I don't hate the idea at all. And again, we're talking about stuff that in terms of what you'd have to give up to get these players, very, very
not
little.
A ton.
Not a little. I mean, not much. And the Titans are obviously long gone. I don't even know if they're going to throw another pass this year. So,
they're switching quarterbacks again. They're going to Mason Rudolph this week.
Is that because of injury or because Rudolph played last week? Levis was hurt.
Yeah, I think that they're going to stay with Mason Rudolph.
I mean, neither one of them looks good. They've also paid Calvin Ridley long term.
Yep.
And so, like, they need to clear more space for him. Hopkins looks like somebody who is definitely going to be on the move to somebody. Why not here?
Yeah, I don't really look at their needs as wide receiver. And I look at what this team does a lot, which is 2 wide receivers. And when you get Debo back, and hopefully it's Sunday, and if he's not ready for Sunday, I wouldn't imagine that this illness would last much long beyond that. I hope. I don't know how bad the pneumonia is, if that's what it is. He's got fluid on his lungs, and it's not an easy thing to get over. It's kind of a scary thing when you think about it. But you're a team that runs 2 wide receivers a ton. So I don't see a great need for a 3rd wide receiver. Juwan Jennings has been amazing this year. And if you have Juwan and Debo, and then you've got either Pearsall or Bell or Conley, that for me is enough. You don't need, for me, you have a greater need in defensive line, interior defensive line, and linebacker. Those are things that I would look at before I would look at wide receiver.
I get where you're coming from. I also think that, again, you're allowed to address both of these things. And then I'm also looking at the other teams around the league who are also interested in that position. And in theory, if you still see yourself as a playoff team, acquiring one of these receivers helps keep that receiver from going somewhere else. I mean, clearly the Bucs are now going to be on the receiver market. They lose Godwin for the year and Evans for a month. So add the Bucs now, brand new to the list of teams that's going to want a wide receiver. The team that beat you last week is going to want a wide receiver. They lose Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown. You know that they're going to be after one of these guys. The Pittsburgh Steelers have been after a wide receiver all year long, starting with Brandon Ayuk in the preseason. They're going to want one of these guys. Amari Cooper has already been dealt. Devontae Adams has already been dealt. Let me give you 2 more names, and then we can open it up to you. Again, if you're going to make 1 trade, Dibbs says D-line, I'm going wide receiver. If you have 1 position where you can acquire a new player to help bolster the 49ers, what position would it be? We'll take your calls on that 888-957-9570. Number two on my list, you're probably not going to get because I don't think the team's going to give him up, but I'd call and find out. And that is T. Higgins of the Cincinnati Bengals. He's obviously fantastic. He's expensive this year only. He's on the franchise tag. The Bengals are going to have to pay Ja'Marr Chase next year, and so they're not keeping T. Higgins. They're not going to franchise him twice, and they're definitely not going to extend two high-level wide receivers in the same year. This is very telegraphed. The only question is whether or not the Bengals feel like they're still in it this year. They're 3-4. They're in a really tough division. The Steelers and Ravens are both humming. I would call the Bengals to find out how they feel about the rest of their season, because this is definitely T. Higgins' last year there. That guy, if all things were equal, that would be my choice. I just think he's going to be harder to get, and you'd have to give up a little bit more. That's why I put him at number two, not number one.
Right, and I wonder what the compensation is if he leaves in the offseason as a free agent. You probably get a comp third pick if he goes out and he plays and starts for another team. So if that's where the price is, if you have to give up a third-round pick to get him for a nine-week rental, that feels to me like a steeper price than I'd want to pay.
Yeah, I don't know what the rule is on an acquired player halfway through the year and as far as leaving as a free agent.
No, I mean if he stayed with Cincinnati as a free agent, what would Cincinnati get if he stayed and then left as a free agent? They would probably get a third-round compensatory
pick. Correct, I think
so,
yes.
So if that's what they're thinking, then you'd probably have to start at a third-round pick at the very least in order to acquire him. That's the way I'd look at it if I was Cincinnati. And I also think that if I'm in Cincinnati's shoes, I feel like I'm very much in it.
Yeah,
you're a game out of a wild card right now, and you know, you probably are thinking that you've got enough talent to be better than the teams in front of you, Indy and Denver in particular.
Well, I mean, they were 1-4 8 days ago, which is why this was kind of on my mind. Now they're 3-4. However, keep in mind the two teams they beat, the New York Giants and the Cleveland Browns,
yep,
both of them close games, and those two teams are Stinkville and Stunkville. So I don't know how optimistic the Bengals actually are inside their front office, but you got Joe Burrow, you got good players. You're probably right. Now, that leads me to number one, and this is the guy that if I'm the 49ers, I'm putting, when I go to bed tonight, if you're one of the hit-the-knees people, I'm going to look up to the ceiling of my house and be like, let's go. I want to hear this tomorrow morning. I want to hear this tomorrow morning that the San Francisco 49ers have acquired Diontae Johnson, wide receiver from the Carolina Panthers. They are 1-6. Andy Dalton has sort of made them a viable offense, but he got into a car accident this morning. I hope he's doing okay.
I didn't hear that.
I don't even know what the hell's going on with him, but the Panthers are obviously going nowhere fast. Diontae's a free agent at the end of the year. The Panthers used early draft capital on wide receivers in Leggett. They're not going to re-sign Diontae Johnson beyond this year. They'd be stupid to not get him off the roster. They would be stupid. So, in my opinion, Diontae Johnson plays for a new team in 2 weeks. Why not here? He's perfect. He's almost a fringe wide receiver one in this league. He was for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the past. He is a very good player. He is someone who can beat man coverage. He is a tough guy who played in Mike Tomlin's system, therefore very willing to block downfield. I think he is a perfect fit for Kyle Shanahan's system and someone who would be very welcome as a Brandon Ayuk replacement.
And probably wouldn't be that expensive to get. And you already have dealings with Carolina in recent past. A couple of years ago, you got McCaffrey from there. So you've got a little bit of a pipeline. And you mentioned Carolina, and they right now are minus 133 in point differential after 7 games.
That's
which
crazy.
And I was just thinking.
And they won one of them.
Right. And I was looking at the worst point differential in history, and it's Tampa Bay, minus 287, the year that they went 0-14.
They're already halfway there.
Back in 1976. Jeez. And I'm looking at the Rams in 2009. They were a minus 261. That's a one-win team. So you're looking at Carolina being maybe 4 or 5 weeks away from Chicago White Sox territory. Oof. As far as futility goes. So, yeah, the only thing that scares me about that whole idea is that it's Carolina, and they don't usually do the smart thing or the right thing.
Well,
and if you look at it, this is clearly the right thing to do because you have younger receivers.
Yes.
You're in a clear-cut rebuild. You're heading for the number one pick if they even have it. I'd have to check because they didn't last time. But
I think they do.
Yeah, so it would make the most sense to trade him for a third-round pick, you know, some sort of a day-two pick to the Niners.
Yeah, I don't even think it would take a third-rounder. I mean, if you look at what Amari Cooper got, if you look, I know the Devontae one is a little complex because he demanded it, but if you look at what those top-flight receivers got, the only way it would take something like a three or a four is if there's a lot of competition for him, which, again, if you want to look at it through that lens, you get to play Tampa in 3 weeks with no Godwin and Evans. The downside of those injuries for the 49ers is that's now a new team that's on the market for a wide receiver as well. With Ayuk, Godwin, and Evans all going down in the very same weekend, you've got two new entrants, I would argue, into the wide receiver party. And obviously more buyers means the price goes up. And there were already a few buyers there. I know the Steelers are in on some of these guys.
Yep.
And there are probably more waiting in the wings. We'll see about Detroit. Jameson Williams just got
two games
suspended. It's only two games, so they probably won't bite. But who knows?
And you know, Buffalo might want another receiver, actually.
That would surprise me, but maybe.
They're a team that, you know, especially when you look at the AFC, the AFC's not wide open, but I think there's a clear-cut top two, and then there's a group of three or four teams that wants to get into that top tier, and I think Buffalo is still one playmaker away from being up there with Baltimore and Kansas City.
I think the Chiefs are the other team. The Chiefs are the team where I'm like, they're definitely like, I do not want Deontay Johnson going to the Chiefs.
Well, and the other name that came out today is Cooper Kupp. Rams, you know, Diana Rossini of ESPN saying that the Rams are looking for a second-round pick for Cooper Kupp, and that, to me, is the perfect destination for Kupp is Kansas City.
Oh, God.
Right?
He'd be phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
If he's ever healthy again, good God.
And the interesting thing is they play Thursday, as you reminded me yesterday.
He's supposed to play, isn't he?
He's supposed to play. So if you're the Rams and you really want to trade him, do you play him? A guy who's still getting back, getting healthy. Do you play him in showcase, or do you not play him and hold him and think that I don't want him to get hurt?
I think you roll the dice and play him.
Yeah.
They're going to want to see it. The guy's played so little football over the last 2 years.
But the mythology, the mythos of him is so good. Like, oh my God, can you imagine Cooper Kupp and Mahomes and Andy Reid in that offense?
And the Rams wouldn't send him here.
No.
Is he a free agent after this year, or he's got some more?
I think he's got more meat on the bone.
Yeah, he's got more meat on the bone, which means, and then I don't think the Niners are not going to be interested in another, spending on another wide receiver into the future.
He's got two more years.
Two more years after this one.
Right.
Okay, can you get out, though, this year? Oh, there is an out after this year.
Yeah.
There's an out after this year. Pretty hefty dead cap number, though.
17 million.
I got 22.
Okay, yeah, the dead cap.
Yeah, so I don't think the Niners are not going to be interested on that one, and I don't think the Rams would take that call anyway. Hey, real quick, let's go to Will from the East Bay. Hey, Will, thanks for calling. What's up?
My pleasure. Good to talk to you guys again. I think you ran the gambit on the offensive side with these receivers. I kind of look from a different perspective, and my no-brain pick would be Max Crosby, a game wrecker from the Raiders to compliment Nick Bosa. And by the way, shout out Brock Bowers, their 13th pick out of Georgia, did had a good weekend.
Sure did. Brock Bowers. I love Brock Bowers. And he's producing in an offense that now has like no other weapons and no good quarterback. Will, thank you. The Crosby thing keeps coming up. What do you tell people when they ask you about that? Max Crosby to the Niners.
Is it gas that you're huffing? Is it crack you're smoking?
Now, why do you say that?
Are you taking acid?
Why do you say that?
Because I don't think the Raiders are going to trade him. Well, no.
Okay.
I was talking to a friend of mine who works for an NFL team, and we were talking about his team and then his former favorite team, which is the Raiders. And he said, Dan the man, what do you think of the Raiders? I said, well, the owner is a moron. The GM is clueless, and the head coach is overmatched. Other than that, I like where they're going. And he was laughing, and he's like,
"You got a great stadium, by the way.
Man, he's
got
like,
a great stadium.
Well, Is it a great stadium?
It is.
It's a great place for visitors to go. It's not a good home stadium.
No, I mean for the fans.
I bet. I haven't been there.
The sight lines are incredible, and the snacks are cheap. So, oh, by the way, right outside, there's this real fun thing to go do after the game.
It's called the Strip, right?
Yeah, but I
was giving him that as a breakdown. And so, again, this goes back to the Carolina question. If you are really a coherent organization, you don't trade your really good players. But if you're the Raiders, well, you let Devontae Adams go for not a song, but maybe for a sonnet. And now you've got one of the top five edge rusher defensive forces in football, and you're going to trade him because what? Because you need to rebuild? And so when you rebuild, when you trade your edge rusher, what do you immediately need, Mark?
A new edge rusher.
Thank you.
But you're going to get some great picks.
Oh, boy. And picks are worth what?
Listen.
F damn picks.
I mean, this
You've
is
You've got Max flipping Crosby.
And they had Khalil flipping Mack. And they did this. They did this
well,
once
already.
Well,
they got a great package for Khalil Mack.
Well, maybe they get a great package for Max Crosby.
And I'd have to look and see what they got for Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
It probably didn't work out for him. But
all right. 888-957-9570. Those of you who want to weigh in on it, we come to you next. The Crosby conversation is not quite done. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. If you had to trade for one position for the 49ers, what would the position be? We keep taking your calls. Steve Kerr in just over an hour on Willard and Dibbs.
To Willard and Dibs.
So what was on the menu? Seven steaks? Two whole chickens?
Well, I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
Bro, I was scrolling through the IG the other day.
Yeah?
And I found that old... It was preseason last year, right? Wasn't this after Nick signed that Mama Bosa came on and was telling us about the omelet with the onions?
If by preseason you literally mean maybe like a day or two before week one.
Because I signed like 5 days before the opener.
I meant that.
Yeah,
like,
I think
we had her on like the next day, I think,
after he signed. Right.
Okay. So this would have been 13 months ago.
And I asked him, what do you feed that thing? And he wants like seven Wagyu steaks. And she mentioned an omelet.
She mentioned an omelet for breakfast, which I think, if I'm remembering the recipe correctly, it was seven eggs.
Right.
Seven eggs, grilled onions, and was
broccoli,
it?
Broccoli, I think.
Was it broccoli?
Yes.
It was a vegetable. I couldn't remember if it was, what vegetable.
They've got multiple hens on retainer.
So she told us all about it.
Nothing, Randy.
Like,
hands, like, retainer.
And well, he's putting his retainer in right now, actually.
That's a five.
Anyway.
Well done.
So anyway,
it's Invisalign. Thank you very much.
That's a retainer.
We
it's
need
okay.
to get you a live read for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Mark Granny for Invisalign.
I had Invisalign.
I can't talk, but my teeth look great.
About same time, like, are you 30, 31?
28.
What are you? You're 28?
28,
confirmed. I always ask you if you're 30.
Not yet on my retainer. This is still moving my teeth around.
Yes, but it's a series of retainers. I get it.
I'm just going to say this. It's adorable.
It is. I did it.
His teeth still move around.
It's a pain in the rear is what it is. It works. It's wonderful. I love Invisalign, but it hurts.
And expensive.
It's expensive. It's a pain.
It's a fixed cost, though, right? You do it once, and then that's it. It's not like you have to pay monthly for your thing.
I paid it all up front.
Yeah,
you can save a little bit of money that way.
You can finance that thing like a car if you want. But anyway.
You know, it's cheaper having jaggedy teeth. You know,
that is very true.
Yeah.
No, well, the tough thing is when you're like me and you love to eat, because you got to take the thing out every time you want to eat something.
Yeah. I'm going to eat it.
Right. And it's not easy if you've got a new set. It's not easy to get them off. Like, it's tough to get them off.
Yeah.
And then you put them down and I forgot them somewhere. And then you got to call someone and spend about, it's tough.
I get it.
Yeah, it's
I get
tough.
It.
But anyway, I did it. I did it in my 30s also.
Yeah.
So one thing where I got to get mad at my parents, even though when you become an adult, that's when you call and apologize. That's when you start to understand all the crap that mom and dad went through. But the one thing I could call them and be like, boy, you guys really screwed that up. My parents went to the ortho looked at me and went, tweener.
Yeah.
50-50. Doesn't quote need braces.
Yeah.
But probably could, should. Want to know what my parents did?
That's going to be a no from me.
No, they looked at me. They went, well, what do you want to do? What's a kid going to say?
Give me the headgear, Mom.
You're telling me I don't need metal in
my face? That's enough for me,
yeah,
Doug.
That's a no.
Give me 18 months of headgear, Mom. Please.
I'm like, let's eat. And then, of course, in my 30s, I'm getting teeth pulled and I need Invisalign and we got to do the whole dance and all of that stuff. So anyway, Grandy, I got a little soft spot for you.
I applaud your parents for not allowing the orthodontist to upsell you. Because don't get me started on dentists and orthodonture.
Well, how about this? Mom
it's a
and dad,
scam.
Yeah, but they felt so bad about it. Guess who paid for the expensive Invisalign in my 30s?
There you go.
Because they're like, we should have paid for braces 15 years ago.
It's good parenting.
And we didn't, so we'll take care of this. And I'm like, done. Good deal.
Of your three kids, how many have gone the braces route?
Oh, two for two.
With
another one. He's heading down that road. Oh, for sure. Consultation sensation right around the corner.
Yeah, that's a buck.
Yeah.
It's actually more than a buck.
what
that's going to be.
Just to put a bow on the Max Crosby thing.
Please.
Okay, two more years on his deal after this one. At a very high number. Although not crazy for Max Crosby. 22 and then 18 the next couple of years. Definitely worth it. The 49ers cannot fit that. They cannot grab another defensive lineman and have him be making more than $20 million per year with everything that they've got going on. I don't see that. And then I'd also add, because I don't know if the Raiders are going to deal him or not. I'm with you, probably not, but I think it's on the table. But the other thing is I don't think the Raiders like dealing with the Niners. You made an interesting point when I mentioned Deontay Johnson, and you go, oh, there's history there. The Panthers and the Niners. It's kind of like Farhan and the Mariners farm system. Give me your laugh. Come on.
Yeah.
There you go. Like we're going to, I need a 18th string catcher. Call the Mariners.
Totally.
They've got someone for you. The Raiders and Niners, the Raiders don't want to deal with the Niners. It's why they didn't send him Khalil Mack when the Niners gave him a better offer. They sent him to Chicago. Mark Davis doesn't want to deal with the Niners. He doesn't want to help the Niners. Send Max Crosby to the Niners? I'd be shocked.
The Bears gave up two firsts, a third, and a sixth. And then the Bears also got a second and a fifth, a conditional fifth. So two firsts, a third, and a sixth to get Khalil Mack. And I don't know if that would be the compensation for Max Crosby, but probably damn close to it. Two firsts, first and a second for sure, especially a guy who's under that kind of control at that money. So I think it's a non-starter, not only because Niners-Raiders, but also because of the fact that compensation-wise, I don't think that the Niners would part with that. And I do think that the Niners could get a lot more bang for their buck by getting another good interior defensive lineman, a three technique, a run stopper, because you lost the Gravedigger, Javon Hargrave. I know he's better against the pass than he is the run.
They weren't stopping the run with him.
No, but they're even worse without him. And I can pull up all of the last game logs that I've charted in the second half of these games. Teams, James Conner and Kyren Williams.
You're not wrong.
And, you know, in this past game, Sunday, it was a various Kareem Hunt and others, and it's just they are going straight down the middle against you. It's nothing tricky. There's no sleight of hand. There's no stretch to it. It is, we're going right at your interior defensive line, and we know that you've got Fred Warner and you've got nothing else in the linebacking level.
I'm wondering who's available. And I know those names, they're less sexy than having a wide receiver conversation because in the age of fantasy football, we all know the wide receivers. We don't know all the interior defensive linemen.
And I know Hassan Reddick is a rusher. He's an edge rusher, and he just signed. And I guess theoretically that means he's going to stay with the Jets?
I think so. That seems the way that it's going. But I mean, listen, you know, could you get DJ Jones back?
Perfect.
I loved him. You know, could you do that? I don't know who's available at that position. I'm certainly not dismissing that as something that would help.
And the other one for me is linebacker, because everyone talking about Dre Greenlaw coming back. And I think Shanahan said it in his press availability yesterday that they're expecting him a couple of weeks after the bye. That, for me, feels more like a Thanksgiving thing than it does a Halloween thing. You know, late November, early December. And at that point, you're going to play three or four more games before he comes back. And that, for me, is a glaring need right now, linebacker, because you've got Fred and you've got nothing else. And one thing that we saw in the Kansas City game, I think other teams will emulate, which is, they're going to play offense to force you into base defense, which means you have to play three linebackers, and you only have one really good one. And so teams like Kansas City with their two tight ends, they're running everything over the middle in the linebacker level. They force you to play more of your standard 4-3 defense.
I have no idea what they have done such a good job of putting the wraps on Dre Greenlaw information. I have no idea what to expect. But they certainly have started to leak out info. They're comfortable with that with Christian McCaffrey, which tells me things are going well, because they've set an expectation that Christian's going to potentially be ready week 10. Coming out of the bye to go against Tampa Bay, they've set that expectation, even though they won't call it an expectation. The fact that they've put that name on it is going to make us think, okay, and they have not done that with Dre. So you may well be right. I have no idea if we're going to see him at all, and what he's going to look like if we do. Yeah, what's
really
up, Grady?
Quick, guys, this is unrelated to those guys, but in the spirit of injury updates, or health updates, probably a better way to put it, Deebo Samuel, who's been in the hospital with pneumonia-like symptoms, with liquid in his lungs, he has been released from the hospital.
Great.
Good news there.
That's very good news, and today is the off day for the team anyway. Does that mean he's back out on the practice field tomorrow? We'll get that report tomorrow, or maybe it's a let's give a couple-day ramp-up and he practices Thursday or Friday for the Sunday night game, or maybe not. But the release, that's obviously good step one. Let's go to Michael and Lamore. Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for calling Willard and Dibs.
No problem. Strong pass on T.J. Jones for me. He couldn't stay healthy when he was with us. But I would make a call over into the NFC North and inquire about Romeo Doubs. Would be a complete plug-and-play player who they run the same system over in Green Bay as us, and he wouldn't have to take a week or two to get acclimated to this office and would just be a plug-and-play player right away. And he's expensive, still on a rookie contract, and is currently unhappy there. And I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that. And shout out to Steve Kerr and go Warriors.
Okay, yeah, Steve Kerr in an hour. Thank you, Michael. My only holdup, I don't dislike your idea, I just don't think it's very viable, because at the trade deadline, you're not going to see playoff contenders helping other playoff contenders, especially in conference. The Green Bay Packers, if they want to move Romeo Doubs, which I don't know that they do, the Niners would probably be the last place. I mean, other than the Vikings and the Lions, would be the last place the Packers would like to send him. They do not want to make the 49ers better.
Yes, and whether or not Romeo Doubs is unhappy or not, and I can see where he might be unhappy, you've got Jaden Reed, who's already had some injury issues, hobbled by the ankle. And so if you're Green Bay, do you really want to give up one of your depth pieces at wide receiver when you've got a guy on a rookie deal still? I don't see that as a move that Green Bay would be making, especially when they look at themselves in they're in a championship window this year. They have a good team, and they're really built on their three wide receiver sets. And so if you lose a guy, you're going to want Romeo Doubs, who is wide receiver four for them right now.
Yeah, you're looking, most likely, the teams that you're looking at who are going to be sending players out, you're looking at the Patriots, you're looking at the Browns, you're looking at the Jags, you're looking at the Titans, you're looking at the Raiders, the New York Giants, the Carolina Panthers, and then in division, which probably is off the table. Like, I think those are the teams, maybe the Saints now, who've lost five in a row, but I doubt it. That's a little circumstantial. So those are the teams, if you want to look for players to the 49ers acquire, I think it's going to come from one of those teams. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.